Praise the Lord. Maybe just to recap very briefly, not to weary your patience, certainly this morning, the meeting this week, of course, started off the first night, and we've been focusing mainly on that great sermon on the Mount. And that was from the Master himself. You know, great sermons have been called, you know, masterpieces. Well, if there ever was a masterpiece preached, it certainly was that Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 5 through the 7th chapter. And he started out that great sermon. The first word from his lips was blessed. 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 And I preached the first night, we're blessed because of our relationship with Christ. Amen. That's the reason we're blessed, because we have that right relationship with the Lord. Amen. And he blesses us with his wonderful grace, changing us, changing our nature, our character into his image, his likeness. And preached one night about we are the salt of the earth. We're here as a preservative. This society around us, morally and spiritually, is decaying. But we're here as a preservative. You know, that's what's holding this thing together, is God's people. It's holding back. It's withholding, you know, the full manifestation of evil. The mystery of iniquity is held in check by the preservative of in God's people, the presence of God in the life of his children. Amen. I preached last night on the Christian's top priority. It should be the kingdom of God. Seeking that first. Amen. That ought to be our greatest ambition. That ought to be our greatest motivation, is to be a part, to have a place in his kingdom. Not only for time, but for eternity. Amen. I preached one night on worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. And of course, you know, the world's idea of beauty is totally contrary to that of the Lord. What God considers beauty is when our lives are what he intends for them to be. When I really worship him, it's when I'm what God meant for me to be. That's when I'm a real worshiper. When my life is in agreement with the Word of God, the will of God, the Spirit of God. So I want to read this morning in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 38. That great Sermon on the Mount, that was the King really laying down his law. That's the King of heaven, giving us the laws of his kingdom, if you will. Here I want to talk to us about the king again this morning. Luke 23 and verse 38, this one verse I'd like to read. Luke the 23rd chapter, the 38th verse. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Amen. I want to go to the Lord in prayer. We desire your prayers, Brother Christy, if you would lead us. Amen. Well, it's so good to see everybody this morning. We're glad some that maybe hadn't been able to be here for different reasons. And Sister Chamberlain, especially good to see her this morning. Everybody else, we're glad to see you. Amen. Beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. I want to preach to us this morning on the thought, the King on the cross. The King. This superscription was written over the cross. This is the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews. Pilate had that written over the cross of Christ. And the Bible said here it was written in three different languages. It was written in Greek, it was written in Latin, and in Hebrew. I don't know if you got that. That was Luke 23, verse 38. Okay. Thought maybe you didn't get where I'd read from, but three different languages here that this title of this subscription was written, superscription was written over the cross. It was written in Greek. Of course, that was a language of wisdom, of culture of that day. That was a language of the intellectuals, even the language of Greek. Paul spoke about the Greeks seek wisdom. Amen. It was a language of those intellectuals of that day. It was written in the language of Latin. That was, of course, the language of the Roman Empire. That was a language of government. Those in authority of that day. Amen. The language of Latin, the Roman, representing that Roman Empire, the language of government. It was also written in the language of Hebrew. Of course, that was a language of the Jews. That was a language of religion of that day. Amen. These three world forces rose up together in unison and had Christ crucified. They all shared a part in the crucifixion of Christ. The three great world forces represented the attitude here, or the attitude represented of all these forces represented. These things were antagonistic to Christ. Sinful religion rejected him. Sinful power murdered him. And sinful culture neglected him. These three great world empires rose up in unison and representing the threefold personality of man. Now we understand according to the scripture that man was created in the image of God. God is he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I can't explain that. You know, somebody said if I try to explain God, I lose my mind. But if I try to explain him away, I lose my soul. Man made in God's image, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. But also we have a threefold personality. Man has an intellect, he has an emotion, and he has a will. Made in the image and the likeness of our great Creator. We first of all have an intellect. I have the ability to know God. You know, Jesus made that great statement. He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I'm telling you, the better I can know this great God, the better life is going to be for me. We have an intellect. We have the ability. You know, we are, according to the scripture, Psalms rather, chapter 8, the Bible tells us that he crowned man with glory and honor. Mankind is God's crowning creation. You know, all the other animals, as I was preaching the other night, were created to give glory to God. But only mankind has the ability to know God. You know, dogs and cats and other animals, they've got, yeah, it looked like they almost have the ability to, to know a lot of things. And they do know a lot of things. And they're very smart, you know, those cats and dogs. And they can almost talk to you. And just amazing a lot of things those animals can do. Monkeys, you know, they can clap their hands and, you know, smile and just almost act like a human. Or maybe humans act like monkeys. One or the other. Even in some, you know, they're so super intelligent and got big degrees and went off to great universities, and they're so intelligent that they feel like we evolved from monkeys. And, you know, I take nothing away from education. You know, I'm all for it, but I'm telling you, the wrong kind of education is getting man in trouble. Well, the point I'm emphasizing this morning is we have an intellect. We have the ability to know God. And that's the greatest knowledge that a man can have. Amen. Jesus summed it up when he made that statement. That's what life's all about. I'm telling you, the better I know God, the better life is going to be for me. We also have emotion. We're emotional creatures. Amen. Well, some, they like to come to church and sit like wooden Indians, and amen. And a lot of times we holy rollers are that way. Amen. I'm just not emotional. Well, go to a ball game, jump up and scream, and I mean, just about turn flips and, you know, beat on the bleachers and lose their voice. Amen. Screaming for their team. Amen. But I'm not emotional, you know. Well, let somebody, you know, let the boss walk in, you're fired. Amen. See how emotional we get. Amen. Let somebody tell you, you just won $1 million, you know. Amen. I'm not emotional, y'all. You'll probably get a little emotional, I'd imagine. We're emotional creatures. Amen. We've got emotion. Well, we're given this emotion. The main reason being, if I know God, I'm going to love God. Because the Bible said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. I'm telling you, when I got saved, the outstanding characteristic of God was the fact that he was a loving God. I mean, he melted my sin-hardened heart with his love. My heart was melted, and it ran out my eyes, even in liquid love flowing down my cheeks, even as I was bathed and basked in the love of this great God. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. I know him. If I really know him, I'm going to love him. Last of all, we've got a will. We've been talking about that some this week. We've been preaching some about that this week. We're the only one of God's creation. Dogs and cats and monkeys and other animals, very smart it looks like, but they don't have a will. You and I have got a will. We've got the ability to choose. Amen. I mean, we can say yes to the will of God or no to the will of God. But the psalmist summed it up. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You talk about holiness. Amen. You talk about holiness, brother, that's holiness. When you got the very laws of God written upon your heart. I want to do that that's pleasing in his sight. I want to do that that he's absolutely put his approval upon and nothing else. I delight to do thy will. Amen. So we see the threefold personality of man, intellect, emotion, and will. All of this, how does that relate? Well, all in unison. Man in totality rose up in total revolt and rebellion against heaven's king and in unison said, we will not have this man reign over us. Amen. In his intellect, in his perverted understanding, in his darkened understanding, in his perverted emotion. What cruelty. Amen. A cruel cross. Nailing the best man that ever lived, that ever walked in shoe leather, nailing him to a cruel cross. Amen. In his will, we will not have this man reign over us. We don't want his laws. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. But I'm telling you, brother, Christ took a cross and made it a throne. Yes, sir. He died on a cross, but he took a cross and he made it a throne. And he still rules and reigns. Yes, even on a cross, he was king on a cross. They said, don't write that. They told Pilate, don't write that. He said, what I've written, I've written. It seems to me that Pilate must have been convinced. I'm telling you, he's a king. Well, let's just look at it this morning. Let's look at man's total rebellion. I mean, we're living in the day that Daniel wrote about, I believe, when he said, knowledge shall be increased. He said, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge would increase. Well, isn't that happening? I mean, all around us. All around us, knowledge is increasing. They talk about it, you know, how fast, how rapid, you know, the technology is advancing. I mean, you get a new gadget and just in a short time it's outdated. They've come out with something, you know, better, something faster and even more advanced. And I mean, the knowledge of man, we've got more availability of knowledge at our fingertips. I mean, just go online. You know, I have preacher friends of mine telling me all the time, you know, I've just done away with my library. I've got it online. You can just, you know, just at a fingertip. Just pull up any study help you want. Just right there available. And all other knowledge, even that's available to mankind, knowledge has increased. Amen. But at the same time, we're living in a day, I'm afraid, amen, where men, they know a lot about God, but very few people really know God. It's not enough just to know about God. I want to know Him. I can know a lot about food and starve to death. We got folks sitting on church pews. They can tell you what it means in the Greek and what it means in the Hebrew. I mean, just know a lot about God. Got all kind of study helps. Got all kind of versions of the Bible. And a lot of them are perversions, even of the Scripture. But at the same time, know a lot about God, but don't know God. Even there in that first chapter of the book of Romans, no doubt Paul was describing a Roman society that had turned away from God. But I'm telling you, you could put any society there. You can put modern day America right in that first chapter of the book of Romans. I mean, he wrote, went on down to say, men with men, women with women, doing that which is against nature. And God turned them over. But before they got to that point, the Bible said there in verse 21 of Romans, the first chapter, He said, for when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Amen. Their foolish heart was darkened. I met a man several years ago, and I'm not going to go into all the detail of this morning. He claimed to be an agnostic. I can tell he's a very educated man, knew a lot about the Bible. Amen. He made me, you know, he gave me the impression that Noah building the ark was a foolish thing. It was impossible for the flood to have happened. I mean, just went on and on. He told me he was an agnostic. I asked him what an agnostic was. He proceeded to tell me. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go into all the detail of that, but I tell you, I finally found the definition of what he was in the Scripture. The Bible said, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, sir. I'm all for education. I'm telling you, life is an ongoing education. We're learning something every day. Amen. I want to apply myself and study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. But I know a lot about God and never know Him. I don't want to just know about Him, brother. I want to know Him. I want to be personally acquainted with this great God. I read in the Scripture, the Bible said they profess that they know God, but by their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, they got the name tag. I'm one of His. I'm a Christian. But He said by their lifestyle, by their actions, even by the things they love and desire and make provision for, they deny the fact that there is a God. Here's some folks, even to them, really, God does not exist. There's some folks, for them, God is dead. Amen. As far as they're concerned, because they're dead to God. They're dead to the world that, I'm telling you, there's a world, my friends, that God Almighty walks in and lives in. And He wants us to be a part of that world. It's the world of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the world, thank God, of walking with Him. Amen. And talking with Him. And Him talking to us. Us telling Him we love Him. And Him letting us know that He loves us. I'm glad to be a part of that world. I just want to get better acquainted with Him. Even just look at man and his emotion. I'm telling you, no more perverse emotion can we see than the emotion demonstrated here at the cross. What brutality. What cruelty. Amen. Taking another fellow human being, the meekest man that ever lived. Amen. The man that done the most good, I mean the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
went about doing good. Never done one thing that wasn't absolutely perfectly in order. Never had to go back one time and ever tell anybody, I'm sorry I mistreated you. I'm sorry I didn't act right. Even I want you to forgive. No, sir, never had to do that. Not one time. But here they nailed him to a cruel cross. And before nailing him to a cruel cross, scourged him, ripping his flesh. No doubt it was demonically inspired men, brutal men, professional men at what they were doing. Oh, but how perverted is the emotions of men. They've been become so filled with hatred. They've been in unclean desires. They've been such venomous brutality that was demonstrated at the cross. Oh, but we find the great apostle describing the last days. He said there would be perilous times, and describing the perverted emotions of man, even given the ability to know God and knowing Him to love Him. We find the Bible said men would be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's hurry up and get this over with so we can go do what we really want to do. Amen. That's where we're at. More interested in going to the beach, going to the mountains, more interested in taking a pleasure trip and a pleasure ride. Amen. And having an ice cream party and a hot dog supper than they are the altar of God, the Word of God, experiencing the mighty moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, brothers, I preached last night. Not going to re-preach it this morning. We've got our priorities out of line. Amen. Our emotion, given the ability to love God. If I really love Him, I'm going to serve Him. Jesus gave that parable that sums up the will of man so well in His perverted will. Amen. Jesus gave that parable about that certain nobleman going into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And as he departed, he entrusted his servants with his goods. But just as soon as he left, those citizens in unison rose up with the attitude, amen, and in their speech and in their actions, they said, we will not have this man reign over us. Amen. Thank God he's gone. We can do as we please now. We can live like we want to. We don't have to have that old king telling us what to do. Well, you can do what you want to. We got a will this morning. You don't have to be here. Amen. We didn't have to come. None of us had to come, but we chose to come, didn't we? We've got the ability, but still the attitude of the world as a whole is away with Him. Crucify Him. Amen. I made mention the other night, our president, they say he's got an IQ off the chart, and I'll let you be the judge of that. Amen. I don't know about all that. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Maybe very intelligent, but his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, how would our defense department, like to live up to that? Teaching so radical, it would be impossible for our defense department to live up to. Of course, he's talking about, no doubt, the part where Christ said for them to us to turn the other cheek. Amen. Well, you can't isolate a scripture and build a doctrine on it. Amen. You got to take in consideration the 13th chapter of Romans, where he's given civil authorities. Amen. And we've got to have law enforcement and military and other offices and administrations to keep peace because of the sin nature of mankind. But we've got a will this morning. Yes, sir, we've got the ability. Amen. I can either say yes to the will of God, yes to the laws of God, and submit myself to the great King. I can rise up in rebellion like the majority of the world is doing and say I'm going to live as I please and do as I want. We will not have this man to reign over us. Amen. But the kingdom of God is established at the cross. Amen. It's established. Amen. At the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my soul roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I made mention last night when Christ came preaching, when he started his earthly ministry, the very first words from his lips were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Because he saw man in his darkened understanding, in his perverted emotion, amen, in his will, amen, that was corrupted, amen, in self-will, and corrupted and perverted, amen, in totality. Man was in rebellion against God, walking down a downward, dark, slippery road to damnation. And he said, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to turn from your wicked ways. Amen, let the light shine down upon your darkened understanding. Yes, sir. He's a king on the cross. He took a cross and made it a throne. I know it. They put a crown of thorns upon his head in mockery and in ridicule. But I tell you this morning, he wears that crown, or he wore that crown, amen, as a king of love. Never been a man loved like this man. Yes, sir. I mean, he came preaching. He told us, as I mentioned last night, to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Amen. That ought to be the prayer of every sincere child of God, for his kingdom to come. It's going to come ultimately. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to reign for 1,000 years upon this present earth. And the meek shall inherit the earth. Those that are really his disciples, we're going to rule and reign with him right here on this earth. But right now, I pray for his kingdom to come, amen, in tearing down the strongholds of sin and Satan. I pray for his kingdom to come right now in the saving of lost souls, in the healing of the sick, the casting out of devils, amen, healing the oppressed, amen, encouraging the discouraged, strengthening the weak, bringing revival to the church, bringing the very life of God in the midst of the spiritual deadness and dullness and lifelessness. Amen. As I pray for his kingdom to come, he didn't come, amen, to marshal an army to march against Rome. He didn't come with political maneuvering to try to campaign for an office that they might elect him to be the king. Oh, but he came, amen, to rescue men. He came to set up his kingdom in one heart, in one life at a time. He came, amen, I say again, not, amen, to establish a military or political kingdom, but he came, thank God, to set up his kingdom in the hearts and the lives of men and women, boys and girls. Amen. And he never forces anybody to do one thing against their will. I know we holy roller preachers get a little forceful, and I feel that way this morning. Amen. And I tell you, God never forces anybody to do anything against their will. He just comes saying, "Give me your heart. Give me your heart." He just comes saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll show you what living's really all about. If you'll follow my laws, my teachings, even be led by my spirit, even let the Bible be the law of your life, you'll find life and life more abundant." Glory to God. Oh, the world's got a little excitement, a little glamour, and a little glitter. Oh, they're happy. They look so happy. But I'll give you joy. Because their happiness is short-lived. It's dependent on the party. It's dependent on the high-rolling good times. You see, happiness is dependent on the happenings. Oh, but the joy I'll give you, amen, the world didn't give you, and it can't take it away. Amen. Oh, yeah, there'll be some heartaches and hardships. Amen. He wasn't saying that. There is a cross to bear. But I tell you, I'd rather take the worst day with a child of God, as a child of God, than the best day, amen, of a sinful life. I'm glad he's my king this morning. He's my king this morning. He didn't come to set up a political kingdom, but he come to capture the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls. I mean, he could have marched on Rome. He wouldn't have had to have an army. He could have marched all by himself and come up to the throne and said to Caesar, I've come to take the throne of the mightiest empire upon the known world at that time. And Caesar would have fell even to the dust, helpless and speechless and powerless if he so chose to do that. I mean, when they come to take him in the garden, he just said, I'm he. Amen. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth, I'm he. And they fell backward to the ground. Oh, didn't know what hit them. What was it? It's the words of this king. He was letting them know, you're not taking my life. No man takes it by force, but I lay it down to myself. I've got the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it again. Oh, they'd have had no power to nail him to a cross, but he laid down his life because he's showing us. Napoleon Bonaparte made a very profound statement. That great military genius, that conqueror of worlds of his day, he said, I know men. He said, I tell you, Jesus Christ is no mere man. He said, between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. He said, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have founded empires. But upon what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Upon force. That's the way kings on the earth operate. How would people here in America would get their eyes open? How would they would have an eye-opening experience and go to the polls and vote this tyrant out? Because I don't know if we realize it or not, and I'm just preaching my heart. Now, what I believe, according to what I've studied and read, to be the God's honest truth, if people can't realize it's more government control, even dictating what, you know, a CEO can and cannot make. When have we ever heard of such things as that in a nation? I mean, now bringing it down, they're going to try to tell you what you can and cannot eat. They're going to try to tell you what kind of car you can drive. I mean, it's just more and more government control. I mean, this is about as close, I guess, as this nation other than the before the Revolutionary War that this great nation has ever come to a tyranny than what we are today. And I believe we're very, at a very critical place in this history of this great nation. I do pray that God will give us a turnaround, that we will have indeed a change we can believe in. But the Saddam Husseins, the Hitlers, the Stalins, even those Napoleons and other dictators, they've come in by force. They've enforced their rule upon men. Even they may have not liked it. Intellectually, they wasn't in agreement. Emotionally, they despised it. But it's either submit or off with his head. Even it's either come under subjection or put them to death. I mean, that's the way tyrants. That's what Napoleon was talking about. He said all the other great kings and rulers, they were ruled by force. But he said Jesus Christ has founded his empire upon love. And at this present hour, millions of men would gladly die for him. That's the difference of this king. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I've got a kingdom this world knows nothing about. Amen. We also see in the threefold office of Christ, he's a king. Yes, but he's a prophet. Amen. And he's a priest. In the voice of the prophet, never a man spake like this man. Amen. The voice of the prophet, he spoke words of wisdom. Amen. The light began to shine into man's darkened understanding. Oh, that we could hear the words of the great prophet this morning. Amen. He's speaking in words of wisdom. Amen. Follow me. Oh, I'll show you how to live. Amen. This is life eternal. To know me. Amen. To know my Father. Thank God. You'll find what living's really all about. Could we hear the voice of wisdom this morning? Yes, sir. Amen. He sees the hearts of men. He knows, amen, our hurts. He knows our feelings. He knows our struggles. He knows what makes us tick. I say again, as I mentioned earlier in this meeting, that great Sermon on the Mount, amen, has to be a masterpiece. Every word that he spoke, it was for a purpose. It was to minister to a particular need, amen, that he saw in humanity. Oh, yes, sir. Never man spake like this man. Amen. He can speak to my heart. Amen. Just in such a way. How did anybody know that? Who told him that? He sees. He knows. Such wisdom. Amen. Can we hear the voice of wisdom this morning? Calling to us. Speaking to us. Amen. Words. Amen. Like never man spake. He's also the priest. He's also the priest. The purpose of the priesthood was to bring men to God. That was their whole office. Amen. To deal with the emotions of men. Amen. Man given the ability to feel. Given the ability to have the emotion to love God. To serve God. To live for God. To love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. That's why that religious Jewish system was so disturbed about Christ. Because they're afraid he's going to put us out of business. The Bible said for envy they delivered him. You know, they got the people thinking, we got God behind this curtain here. You need us. Just keep bringing them tithes and offering. Amen. Just keep coming. Amen. With your sacrifices. Amen. You need us. Yes, sir. And it become a very perverted religious system of that day. Oh, yeah. They got the people believing we got God behind our little religious system here. Amen. But Christ proved on that cross when he cried with a loud voice and that veil was rent asunder from the top to the bottom. Amen. And they saw behind the veil, God's not in that. Amen. God's not behind that curtain. No, sir. He's on that cross. I said, he's on that cross. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God's not in some little religious system. He's not in some little religious ritual. I've seen it in our holiness movement. Folks get to thinking, amen, God's got to work like we want him to. He's in our little routine, and we do it a certain way. No, sir. I found God can do it any way he wants to. Amen. But he's a great priest in the office of the priesthood. Amen. He brings us back into the presence of God. He opened up a way. He opened up a way. Amen. Now whosoever will can come. Whosoever will, let them come. The Bible said those priests stood daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. They stood daily, signifying an unfinished work. He sat down, signifying it is finished. I've offered the supreme sacrifice. Your sins can be forgiven. They can be covered. You can come into the presence of the living God. What we've been experiencing around here, it's all because, amen, he paved the way. Amen, with his shed blood. Amen, he paved the way that we could get back into the presence of the living God. Let the sinful come. Let the weak come. Let the helpless come. Let the broken and the hurted, hurting and the discouraged, amen, let them come and find the help, amen, for their hurting souls. Find the answer to life's questions. Amen. He is a king. He came to establish the government of God in the hearts of men. Amen. He forces no one. Again, he says, give me your heart. Come unto me. Amen. And though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross. The essence of sin is revealed in the cross as madness, hatred, and rebellion. Sin as the rebellion of the will expressed itself finally in the murder of God's anointed king. Sin as degraded emotion expressed itself most fully in the refined cruelty and malicious brutality of the whole process by which Christ was apprehended and cast out. Sin as darkened intelligence expressed itself most surely when it found no room in its counsels for the voice which is alone that of perfect wisdom. But at the cross, oh, I love this. But at the cross, when man's sin has done its worst in nailing Christ to the cross with lawless hands, in that very cross, God plants the kiss of forgiveness upon the face of his murderers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Oh, he's a king. He took a cross and he made it his throne. Amen. He forces no one. He makes no one do anything against their will. But Paul, who was captured by this great king, amen, that took a cross and made it a throne, he would later write, "I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus. I, Paul, amen, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." And in the words of the old songwriter, "I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master. I'll willingly toil through the heat and the cold, and I'll seek no reward in this world below, but my payday will come when the pearly gates unfold." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Man in totality nailed him to the cross. Darkened intelligence, perverted emotion, and a very cruel will. Amen. Malicious hands. But oh, he's calling to us from that old rugged cross. Amen. Come. I'll give you rest. Amen. Hear the voice of wisdom. Amen. Feel the love like no man's ever loved. Amen. That laid down his life for his friends. Having loved his own, he loved them till the end. Amen. Not forcing anybody, not making anybody, but saying, "If you will, amen, if you will, let the willing and the obedient, let them come." I'd like to say yes this morning to his will, to his way. Amen. I want to say with the psalmist, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law, it's found a place in my heart." Amen. I've got a friend, he said God gave him an experience. He said it just felt like God began to write on his heart. Amen. Well, I've never had an experience just like that, but I'd like for that to be the case. I'd like for that to be the reality. Write your law. I don't want to rebel against you. Amen. He don't force anybody. He's never made anybody do anything they didn't want to do. He just says, "Come. I'll show you a better way. Won't you come? Let me show you what it means to really live. Oh, I just began to live. Thank God I become a part of his kingdom." I'm glad I can say this morning, he's my king. He's my king. We sang the song. I don't know if you sang it up here. You probably do. "He's my king, and he reigns forevermore. He's my king to worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him. There is none above him. Wonderful is he." Amen. Did you sing that? Never heard it. Amen. I'm glad I can say he's my king. He's my king. Thank God. He wasn't elected, and he won't be voted out. Hallelujah. He has no predecessor, and he has no successor. Thank God. He's my king. Yes, sir. He's got a kingdom. Oh, yeah. Hitler said, the Third Reich, it'll reign perhaps 1,000 years. But a few short years cease to be. Amen. It's just a faded memory now. But thank God his kingdom, amen, is forever and ever and ever. Holy. God bless you this morning. Trust we've said something to be a help to you. Would you like to come? Amen. I know maybe it's about time to dismiss. If you'd like to come, kneel before the King this morning. Make a fresh commitment. Renew our vows. He's my King. He's my King. Amen. I knelt at the foot of an old rugged cross. Amen. I said, Lord, take the throne of my heart, of my life. Would you come this morning? Pray where you're at, however you feel like doing. God bless you.